Oh, I believe that. Hallelujah. The Lord is with you. As long as you be with Him, He is with you. Hallelujah. I believe the Lord is with us. I believe the Lord is with me. Hallelujah. We're glad to have Brother Lloyd and Sister Shelley Talbert here tonight. We're thankful the Lord sent them. She's sitting as far back as she can get back there tonight. But you let things get started and happen, and she'll be right up here in the front and be involved in all of it. Hallelujah. And if need be, she can preach a little bit, Brother Lloyd. She can do that too. So anyhow, Brother Lloyd Talbert, many of you don't, you may not really know Brother Talbert, but these are our kids. This church brought them to birth, raised them up. They've been traveling in the ministry, evangelizing how long? 13 years? Going on 16 years they've been evangelizing. Isn't that pretty good? Hallelujah. He was one of the greatest soul winners this church ever had, winning people to God in the streets. He and Sister Shelley, his wife, both. And the day come when he wanted to go out and preach, and I said, no. And some preacher come along and said, he's just trying to hold you back. He's trying to control your ministry. He's trying to tell you what to do. I said, no, I'm not. You're just not ready yet. But when he got ready, I said, go for it. And he's been there ever since. That's right. Praise God. We love Brother and Sister Talbert very much. Hallelujah. Let's stand on our feet and worship the Lord. Can we do that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do you believe the fact is? Amen. I believe it. I believe the fact is the truth on our side tonight. Hallelujah. Somebody give the Lord praise in here. Hallelujah to God. Woo! Ela Bahosataya. Come on, let's worship the Lord. Glory, hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. Hallelujah to God. Woo! Hallelujah to God. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I thought when Brother Shirley was talking to the dear lady here on the that's come tonight and was explaining, talking about, asking, did we lift our hands and worship God? And I've learned something about an apostolic church. Don't ever tell nobody what's not going to happen when they come to an apostolic church. Told somebody one time, I said, it's not like somebody's just going to fall down, roll up under your feet. And I mean, I got by the quietest person in the church, and they fell down and rolled up all up under the feet that night. So, praise God. That's the wonderful thing about an apostolic church. You don't control it. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. It's God's church. Hallelujah. I said, it's the Lord's church. Praise God. I went to preach one night, started revival, and the preacher told the church, he said, I don't care how much shouting we do around here, said, there's going to be preaching. And so when I started to preach that night, the Lord said, don't preach. And I said, I know it's the first night of revival, but for some reason God said, I can't preach tonight. We just got to get out here and pray. And he came right up after the prayer meeting. He said, well, I'm the reason we didn't have preaching tonight. He said, God's just still letting me know He's in control of this thing around here. And don't you love that about God? Don't you love that about our Savior? I don't care how out of control your world is. He can fix it tonight. Praise God. I said, He can put it back together. Hallelujah. Praise God. Your Bibles tonight in the book of Exodus, chapter number 17. Praise God. And we love Brother and Sister Shirley. And we love this church. This is our family. And I'll tell you what, we got the greatest from the head right on down in the body. This is to have a pastor and wife like that we have, Brother and Sister Shirley. They're the greatest. And I thank God for them every day. And if there's any... all the good that's in my life is because of them and this church. And I take credit for all the bad. Amen. But I tell you one thing. This is where it's at tonight. This is where it's happening. So you don't have to look any farther tonight. It's happening here. Exodus chapter 17, beginning at verse 8. Then came Amalek and fought with Israel and Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand. Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek, and Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. And Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him. And he sat there on, and Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side, the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And the Lord said, everybody said, the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nisi. For he said, because the Lord has sworn, everybody say the Lord has sworn, that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. Let's pray. Father, we come into your presence tonight. And Lord Jesus, we know that you're on the throne of glory. Master, we want you to have your way. We want you to fill this house with your glory, and we'll fill it with praise. Open our ears tonight, Master, that we will hear what the Spirit has to say to the church. And Lord, we'll ever praise you, and we will ever give you the glory together. Hallelujah. And everyone shout in Jesus' name. You may be seated as you continue to worship the Lord tonight. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I want to go on record to say that it is a dangerous thing to use the words, the Lord said. The Lord said. Unless the Lord said it. You know, if the Lord said it, it's all right to say the Lord said. Yeah, but if God didn't say it, the Lord made reference and said, my people have spoken lies on me. And so it's important that our ears are open and our hearts are ready to respond and hear what the Lord said and be able to say, the Lord has said. I remember Brother D.L. George sharing a story with me when he had, before he went to Australia. He went off to a meeting, and the Lord had spoke to him that there'd be somebody meet him on the way, and they would confirm that he was going to Australia. And so he went to the meeting, and it didn't happen at the meeting. He was so disappointed. And he said after that, maybe it was a restaurant or somewhere, he run into somebody. And they were talking, and they both had just come from the meeting. And the person said, well, I'm kind of disappointed. And said, really? He said, yeah. He said, I went to that meeting, and the Lord told me I'd run into a man on the way to Australia. And he said, hey, I'm that man. He said, so then, he said, boy, he was his confidence was so built, and he was so happy, and said I'm so happy, I'm going to go by the gift shop and get me a gift before I get out of here. And he saw some gag gifts. And so, I don't know what he got there, but he looked, and I'm sure some of you have heard him tell this, but here come a man with some of the biggest ears he had ever seen in his life. And he said, he must have put them on, you know, down this aisle down here. And so he said, hey, man, I bet you could hear something, whatever it was, with those ears you got, you know. And the man said, I tell you what, if I listen real good, I can hear the angels crawling down there. And he got up next to him, and it was his real ears. He hadn't put no ears on. So he said he was going out by that counter and said that man said, yeah, I heard that. That he came in with them ears and he left with them ears. Well, you know what? You came in with one set of ears, but I'd like you to leave with a different set of ears tonight. I'd like you to enlarge your ears for just a little bit. And I'd like you to hear what the Lord is saying tonight. I'd like you to open up your heart and say, speak to me, Lord. I'm the one. You know what? Unless we make it personal, it's not going to do us any good. But if we'll open up our ears and say, Lord, you speak to me. I'm telling you, before you get out of here tonight, God will not disappoint you. God will speak to you. I said, God will. Somebody clap your hands. Hallelujah to God. Thank you, Jesus. I'm here tonight because the Lord has spoken to me. Matter of fact, there are times that I go into a service and I worry about the consequences of what's going to be said, or what is God going to do, or or how is it going to end? But tonight, I don't come with those reservations in my heart. I don't come with those question marks. I only come to the pulpit knowing that I have some fresh bread tonight. I only come knowing that God has laid something on my heart. I only come knowing that God Himself is speaking to me and speaking to this church tonight. When we go into the story in the Bible and we find here that Moses has gone up. He said, tomorrow I'm going to go up to the top of the hill. And I'm taking the rod of God with me. And we know the story. We know the history of the rod of God, that when it was Moses' rod, it done nobody any good. It didn't part any waters. It didn't cause water to turn to blood. It didn't cause hell and fire and stones to come down. None of these miracles happened. And so the Bible said that he cast it down in the presence of the Lord. And the Lord told him to pick it up and pick it up again. And so when he did, the Bible said that when it came back in his hand, that the Scripture said when Moses left there, makes a declaration that from that point, Moses carried the rod of God with him. When he came to the burning bush, it was the rod of man. It was the rod of Moses. But when he left that burning bush encounter, praise God, it became the rod of God. It was no longer the rod of man. And I'm telling you that tonight we are in a place where the rod of God is. We're in a place that if you need healing, you can get healing. That if you need a miracle, you can get a miracle. If you need an answer, you can get an answer. I'm glad I'm serving a God tonight that still knows how to heal. I'm glad I'm serving a God tonight that hadn't lost any of His power. Amen. I tell you what, friend. I'm glad I serve a God that knows how to shock and awe us. You think the United States military knows how to do it? Friend, you ought to see what God can do. He knows how to shock and awe people. He never ceases to amaze me. Praise God. He's got all power in His hand. He never ceases to amaze me. When I see Him work one miracle, friend, He always follows it up with something better than that. And I'm telling you, friend, we're serving a God tonight that's in this place, and He's ready and He's willing to heal. He wants to take us up. I said God wants us to go with Him to the top of the hill and see what the rod of God can do. I got news for the devil. God still got a rod in these last days. He still got men of God with authority and power that know how to preach the truth and won't back down to the devil. He still got men of God that'll lift their hands up and trust Him. Come on, to tear them through. It doesn't make any sense, friend, when all you got is the truth in your hand. But I'm telling you, friend, there's a lot of power in the truth. And if you'll just hang on to it, and you'll just stand with it, it will bring you through. Praise God, He didn't carry anything else with Him but the rod of God. But the rod of God was able to take care of it. You know why? Because that rod at that moment represented everything that God was. And when He held that right hand up, He was saying, God, I can't do anything, but I'll put this faith in You. I'll put this trust in You. And when He did, as long as His hand was held up, they prevailed. Huh? They prevailed. Are you hearing me? I'm telling you tonight, you can't allow truth to fall. You can't allow truth to be let down. You've got to have somebody that'll hold it up. Are you hearing me? If you got a preacher that'll preach the truth, you better get behind him. If you got a man of God that'll stand up against the devil, you better get behind him. The last thing we need is some preacher that'll throw the truth down, that'll let his hands down. Come on, somebody worship God in here. Woo! I'd like to see some more blind eyes open. I'd like to see some more deaf ears unstopped. I'd like to see another lame man walk. I'd like to see the mute speak and the dead raised to life. Somebody clap your hands and praise Him. It's only going to come by the truth. Hallelujah to God. Come on, somebody praise Him one more time with me. Somebody worship the Lord with me. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God, I'm telling you, we don't have time to try to gather up the truth when we're in trouble. We've got to have the truth now. We don't have time to try to gather up the power and to get with what's right and to be in unity when we're in trouble. We've got to be there. We don't know what's behind the next door. We don't know what we're going to encounter. We don't know what's coming our way. We just need to be hooked up and ready to go. I remember many years back, I went to Brother Kenny Chilton's house when he lived over here, and I knocked on the door. I don't remember why I went by there for, but I do remember he had that bad dog in the house named Smokey, and he'd done drew blood before, and he meant business. Nobody was coming in there and leaving without an encounter. You understand what I'm saying? And so when I knocked on the door, he was in the back of the house doing something, and he wasn't able to come to the door, and so he screamed, "Just a minute!" But it didn't sound like "just a minute" to me. It sounded like "come on in" to me. So I just did what came natural. I just came on in. And I no sooner got in and made the mistake of pushing the door behind me than I heard something coming. And it wasn't the feet of Brother Kenny Chilton either. And I'm going to tell you, when it turned that corner, it was snarling. It was ready to fight. And I didn't know what to do. I'll just be honest with you. But the nearer he got there, I only knew what I'd been taught to do. And when he leaped at me, I screamed, "I plead the blood of Jesus. Brother, he hit me. That dog hit me and banged me against that door. And he fell out of my feet. And he started crawling up. Well, we got him on his cold nose around my neck. And I'm screaming, "I plead the blood of Jesus. I plead the blood of Jesus." And then when it got real, you know, I ain't very tall. So when it stood straight up with his eyeball to eyeball, it was looking at each other. He snarled. I said, "I plead the blood of Jesus. I plead the blood of Jesus." And he started backing down. I finally backed up. And when I was a kid, those little rascal movies that they had, you know, that dog take his paws and put them over his eyes. That's off that fake deal. I'm going to tell you what, I seen him do it. He put his paws over his eyes, over the corner. I didn't plead nothing. I say nothing, but I jumped out and slammed the door. I'm going to tell you, when the hell's the hell come on your trail, you ain't got time to gather up the truth. You better have it then. You better have it then. I said, you better have it then. You better. I feel like having church tonight. I feel like having apostolic revival tonight. Somebody clap your hands and give God the praise. Woo! Devil, you're a liar. There's still enough Holy Ghost in here to bind the devil. There's still enough Holy Ghost in here. Come on, to rattle the devil's cage and to gather a harvest and to have a move of God like we've never seen before. Somebody lift your hands up and worship God in this place tonight. Praise God, I got to have it. Praise God, I got to have it. Hallelujah. What are you preaching? I'm preaching hands-on fruit. Praise God, I'm preaching hands on. We've got to be involved. We've got to be here. We can't let anything separate us. Separate us from the knowledge of God. Separate us from the glory of God. We've got to be able to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. We can't afford. I said, we can't afford to get in a place that we don't have a preacher that can hear what the Lord is saying to the church. We've got to have a man of God. All they knew was Moses said, "As long as I'm up here, God's going to take care of everything." It didn't make no sense to nobody, but Moses went up, and when they got there, they didn't know he was going to get so tired that he wasn't even going to be able to hold his own hands up. There's some things you just got to do. There's sometimes you just got to step in. But I tell you one thing, friend, I found out that God loved it when the preacher was weak and tired, when the church got with him, is when the greatest victory that was ever known to the church was performed. You're not hearing me? Oh, somebody give God the praise. It pleases the Lord. I said it pleases the Lord. When a preacher's so tired, all he knows how to do. The Bible said they got a stone and put it underneath him. And he just sat there. And for a while, he had his hands up. But after a while, he couldn't get them up anymore. So you know what happened? Do you know what happened? They gave up on him. Do you know what happened? They walked away. No, that's not what happened. They realized something. If we win, we're going to win with him. If we lose, I tell you what, we'll lose without him. But if we win, only hope of winning and getting out of here and crossing over is with Moses. And so the Bible said, Aaron got on one side and Hur got on the other side. And they, oh, come on now. He couldn't get his own hands up. Somebody praise him in here.
Somebody, but they got his hands up. And as long as his hands was up, they had revival. As long as his hands was up, they had another miracle. As long as his hands was up, they had another hope. Somebody give God. I wish some of you young people came to have church. Any of you know how to worship God? Any of you know how to shout, talk in tongues? Come on, somebody help me praise him in here. Hallelujah. Somebody clap your hands and praise him. Hallelujah. Somebody praise him in here. I feel, I'm telling you, there's nothing that makes the devil any madder and God any gladder than when we get with the pastor, when we get with the man of God and hold his hands up in the time of trouble. Come on, somebody worship God in here. Easy.
You may be seated. Easy when we're, you know, we're down here. Easy when we're on level ground. And everything's going good, hunky-dory. It's easy to get in there and hold the preacher, you know, to hang with the preacher. Because you ain't got to do nothing. He's got his own straight. He can lift his own hands up. But it's a different day when you're trying to cross over. It's a different day when you're trying to get through Amalek and the Amalekites have come to withstand you. I'm going to tell you something. They come to withstand you. They come to withstand the man of God. They don't want him crossing over. Praise God. They know something. They know if there's victory, if the man of God has victory in his life, and they know if you're with the man of God, they know they can't stop that. They know they cannot hold that back. They know they can't keep you from going where you're headed. But if somehow the devil can get us, I'm going to tell you what the devil wants to do. He wants to get us in disarray. We get the man of God up on a hill. I'm going to tell you something, friend. I'd rather have a preacher that's willing to go up and obey God than somebody just sit on flat ground all the time. I'd rather have a preacher that fought the devil to his two tires to hold his hands up till I had to pass by and say, I'll help you, preacher, but don't quit. Don't throw the towel in. If we win, we're going to win with you. That's the only way we're coming out of it, is that we hold on to what we got. Stand with the man of God, or we'll die here. We'll die here if we don't. Somebody lift your hands up and worship the Lord. Come on, let's praise him. Oh, God. God, have mercy. We'll die here. Praise God. We'll die here. I feel the Holy Ghost. I don't mind getting personal. I feel it get personal with my heart. Because my soul is burning. I want to be saved. I can't afford to separate me from my pastor. This church, I've got to have this church. We've got to have you. My family has to have you. I know you pray for us. I know you're weeping that prayer with us. But I know I got a sure word with the pastor I have. I know I've got a direct connection to heaven. Are you hearing me? I'm going to tell you what, in the lowest places of my life, he stood with me. Are you hearing me? When I was down on the bottom, when other men would have had me where they wanted me, would have probably put their foot in my neck and tried to finish me off. He was there to pick me up and to bring life back in me. And he said, you can't hold your hands up now, so I'm going to hold them up for you. Well, I got news for you, Brother Shirley. I'm going to hold yours up now. I'm going to help you now. You're not hearing me. God's going to help us get over. We're going to have revival. We're going to have a harvest. We're going to have a breakthrough. Somebody praise God is here. Do you feel that way? Are you standing with your pastor? Have you got your hands up in the hands of the preacher? Somebody worship the Lord with me in here. Somebody praise him. Somebody lift up your hands and worship. Somebody worship your God in this place tonight. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. I got to have man of God's object. I've got to have him. You've got to have him. You can't change. And you can't change directions. You can't change because of flesh. Or because you're tired. Or because you're weary. Let me tell you something. He's our pastor. And I know you're with me. I don't feel any schism or trouble. I'm just telling you what's on my heart tonight. I tell you what I feel. I tell you what's burdening my spirit.
Praise God, God, what God has laid on my soul. And without saying anything, God has dealt with me about coming here and letting Brother Shorty know the Lord had laid this message on my heart. And where I was at, a man came to me, and he told me some things. He just said, God showed me this. And what he did, I said, okay. And I said, I don't know about all that. And he said, well, I was down praying. And he said, you go tell your pastor that the Lord's going to fight for us. I'm going to tell you tonight, Brother Shirley, that somebody don't know you said the Lord's going to fight for us. So I'm going to give you that word tonight. I haven't been able to give you that. But he said, you go tell him. And it scared me because I know this man's used to God. And he said, I saw him driving stakes against him. And he said, it made me afraid. And I thought first when he said it was me. And I was afraid. I said, I've been through enough, man. I don't need nobody driving any more stakes against me. And he said, no, it ain't you. It's your pastor. And he said, I see him. And he said, one's out in the open and one's here. And he's telling me. And he said, you go tell him the Lord's going to fight for him. So I've come to tell you, the Lord's going to fight for you, Brother Shirley. Praise God. Praise God. The Lord's going to fight for you. But I tell you what, you know what the devil wants us to do? He wants us to get down and discouraged and defeated and sit down and feel sorry for ourselves. No, I tell you what we're going to do. We're just going to go in and whip the devil tonight and have revival in the midst of hell. That's what we're going to do. Somebody worship God in here. I wish somebody brought their scout shoes with them tonight. Do y'all still run the owls around here? Anybody ever run the owls around here? Why don't somebody just get out and run the owls one time? Let the devil know he's still alive. Let the devil know he's still have apostolic revival around here. Come on, somebody worship God. Yeah! Amen. When's the last time you run the owls around here? Any other men feel like it? You may not make it all the way around the church, but maybe make it around a couple of pews or something. Let's give God the praise. The devil's alive. The devil's alive. God's got apostolic revival for us. Holy Ghost! Somebody praise the name of the Lord! Jesus! 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 All right. Come on, let's praise Him. Well, let's worship the Lord. Oh! Hallelujah! Praise God! It may not mean much to you, Brother Shirley, but I just want to go on record. You're my pastor when you're at your strongest. And you're my pastor. Because I know you're God's man. I said, I know you're God's man. And I'll help hold your hands up until God gives you your strength back. Come on. I'll hold them up for you. Anybody feel that way? Why don't somebody come hold up Brother Shirley's hands tonight? Get one hand and somebody else get the other hand and just hold his hands up and say, we're going to help you. You're not strong enough right now, but we're going to help you get over to the other side. We're going to see the Lord wipe out the spirit of these Amalekites. Somebody worship the Lord in here. We're going to help you. Come on. Somebody feel that way about it. Anybody feel that way about it? Come on, let's worship God. Come on, let's lift our voice up and praise Him right now. Hallelujah. Amen. I know it makes the devil mad, but there's nothing that pleases God anymore that when our pastor's down, when he's in a storm, when we hold his hands up, you know what it does? It gets God so pleased. The Bible said that they fought for the sun with them. It was dark. I feel that. Maybe see it. Dark. That's all it was. Dark. No faith, no scene of victory, no nothing. Just darkness. That's all they saw. And he was too tired to hold his hands up. I told you I was going to get personal tonight because I feel like I need to. I can stand here and say what I'm saying because I've been tested. I've had to make my mind up where I stand in my life. And I remember when I came back a while back to preach revival here. I was having some trouble with several men that are way up in an organization, a certain organization that I'm a part of. And they warned me, and they had a lot of power with men, and said, if you go there and you preach for him, we're going to destroy you. I mean, that was their words. We're going to destroy you. We're going to make sure that you never preach around. You'll never preach in our churches again. You'll never do this, and you'll never do that.
And I have to be honest with you, it shook me up. Because I was preaching to a lot of those churches at the time. And it was right down the road. It's easy to sit back and say, well, I don't know if I feel like it, Brother Talbert, but when that's your living, when that's your living, that's your bread, you out there every week, that's a tight demon to jump on you at one time and say, you know, devil said, he'd still be your pastor. You just ain't got to go there and preach, you know. But that's a lie. That's a lie. I can't walk on this carpet. And I can't weep in that prayer room with him. I can't preach in this pulpit. He's not my pastor. If I can't give him 100%, then he's not my pastor. Are you hearing me? There's no 70% commitment. There's no 80% commitment. There's no 90% commitment. Amen. Praise God. I hope I can keep these two stories together at the same time. So, but at the 10%, it reminded me of something. It reminded me when I was a little boy. I went to school. And a bully in the school told me, he said, you bring me a dime tomorrow. You don't bring me a dime tomorrow. He said, you know, I'm going to beat you up. And he's beating up everybody else, so I knew he could beat me up. So I cried all night. You know, I didn't go to sleep. I just whimpered all night long. And I whimpered in daylight. And so when the daylight comes, I tried to act like everything's all right, fine. I just broke down crying. And my mama said, what is it? I said, if I don't bring a dime to school, this bully's going to beat me up. And she just done the wise thing. She just gave me the dime. She said, okay, son, go and give him a dime. She said, but remember, I don't have a dime tomorrow. She said, and besides that, if he gets you dime, he's going to get you milk. He's going to get you lunch. So I went there, and I was praying all the way through line. I was praying he would forget about it. But you know how the devil is. He just doesn't forget. And so here I come. I said, you know, he's going to forget about it. But now, and I seen him, you know, coming out that way. I said, he's going to forget me. So I set my lunch tray down. I was trying to get people to sit down. I was trying to get everybody, man. I was offering people money to sit down. But here he comes. He walked right over there, and he sat down right across from me. And he said, Lord Talbert, did you bring my dime? I don't know what made me do it to this day. Man, I got up, I grabbed the chair, slammed it down. I said, I got it, and you bad enough, come around here and get it. He just looked at me. I still see him with half a roll hanging out of his mouth. I said, I don't want it down. I don't want it down. And I'm going to tell you something. He was telling the truth. He didn't want that dime. He wanted all. He wanted everything. And if I was willing to fight him over a dime, it wouldn't work. He wanted me to give it up. And if he could get the dime, he'd get a quarter. If he'd get a quarter, he'd get 50 cents. Some of you set up this place backslid because you just gave a nickel up in the beginning. But tonight, you're about 99% gone, man. You just barely feel the Lord in here. Your mind's not on God. You're sitting in this house cold. You don't want to praise Him anymore. There's some of you spent so long since you talk in tongues, you can't remember when. You need to get up here and let us lay hands on you and pray you back through till you talk in tongues again. Somebody worship the Lord in here. Somebody praise Him. Hallelujah, devil, you can't help us. You're not hearing me. If he talks you out of clapping your hands, he's got what he wants tonight. Don't you give up one hand clap. I don't care how tired you are. Clap your hands in his house. I know you don't feel like standing up, but just to make the devil mad, you ought to stand up one time. Come on. You're not getting, are you hearing me, young people? Tell the devil, you ain't getting 5 cents of my praise. You're not getting 5 cents of my worship. Somebody worship the Lord in this place tonight. Somebody, not getting one dime of it belongs to me. Somebody praise Him. I don't know about you, but I've got to be. You know, the old song says, 99.5 won't do. It's going to take 100. It's going to take 100. That's how I feel tonight. I want the devil to know I'm not 80% behind my pastor. I'm not 99.5. I'm 100% behind the pastor. Behind my pastor. Somebody worship God in this place. Lift your hands up and pray. Being rocked to sleep. Some of your souls, you kill. You may be seated. Keep your mind, let's just worship the Lord. Amen. Lift your hands up where you're sitting at tonight. Let's worship the Lord just a moment. I feel the Holy Ghost coming here. Oh, God. I must be saved. God, have mercy. Come on, let's worship Him together. Oh God. Praise God. Praise God. I got so much on my mind. There's no way I can say everything that's coming to my spirit. So I'm going to grab the best of the fragments that I can inside of my heart tonight. But as we rode down that road during one of the worst storms of my life, where I had men that I thought was my best friends chewing on me and telling me, you know, if you do this, there's going to be trouble. And I wouldn't want to face anybody as powerful as these men. And for somebody of my small stature, even in spirit, I felt so small and I was afraid. We were riding down the road. And I'll never forget it. I was praying. I said, God, I was in turmoil in my mind. And I said, God, you got to help me. And my wife was reading the Bible. She said, hey, listen to this. And I said, yeah. She said, listen to this. She said, you remember where Saul went down to visit the witch at Endor? I said, yeah. I said, God, tell me to read this to you. And I said, okay. And she began to read the story where Saul went down to the witch of Endor. And when he got there, you know how he disguised himself. And he said, he asked her, said, I need you to bring me up a man. And he told her the name of the man. And whatever you believe, however you believe this, some say, well, there's no way a witch could have control. I believe that God allowed a vision of this man to appear into her. It was not Samuel himself. It was a vision. I believe God spoke. I don't believe God allowed her to disturb him from the dead. But I believe that it happened for a reason. That God allowed this vision and allowed him to speak. This man to speak to God and God to speak back to this vision as standing in the place of Samuel. And some say, well, it was Samuel himself. Well, either way, it doesn't matter. What matters is you get the truth of the essence of the story. And so when he came to the witch of Endor, she called up Samuel and his in a vision, he appeared unto her. And he asked this woman, he said, who is he? What do you see? And she said, it's an old man. And there was no response from Saul. Not one response. Now remember, Samuel was Saul's prophet. He was his prophet. He didn't have another prophet. He was Saul's prophet. And you remember how that he was to go down and destroy these Amalekites. Because these Amalekites got on God's hit list in the Old Testament, in the time of Moses. And now, in Moses' time, they were on God's hit list. And God said, I will wipe them out so there's no remembrance of them. And I will have war with them from generation to generation. And then he names the place Jehovah Nissi. He said, because the Lord is war, so the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation. The Lord will. And so Saul was supposed to be a part of God's army. And he was supposed to be a part of doing what God said. And God said, go down to score the Amalekites and leave nothing. Instead, you know the story. He came bringing back old King Agag. And he brought him back. And he brought back the best of the sheep and the oxen. And you know that Samuel got angry. And he took that old king and chopped him up with a sword. And the blood and the bones and the screaming and the stench of the smell in the street. And he said, because you rejected the word of the Lord has rejected you. And you know how that he begged him and pleaded with him and wanted him to honor him in the eyes of the people. And he got in trouble. And when he got in trouble, amen, you know what happened? God took his prophet. He wouldn't listen. He wouldn't hear. God took his prophet and he died and they buried him. And he, no doubt he said, I'll get another one. Because he said he sought prophets, seers, witches, warlocks. He sought everything. But he could not find a voice. And when she said, it's an old man, he didn't move. But the next words caused him to fall down on his face. She said, and he had a mantle on his back. Oh, God. He knew that mantle represented the anointing of the Lord. He knew that mantle represented the priesthood. He knew that mantle represented his prophet. And when she said he hath a mantle, the Bible said he stooped to the ground. He said, Oh Samuel, the Philistines are upon me, and God answered me not through seers or dreams. And he said, Saul, seeing the Lord has rejected you. How can I help you? What can I do? If the Lord's rejected you, if God's through with you,
I'm through with you. And oh, she got through checking that. I said, my God, I'm burying my pastor. I'm burying the preacher in my life. I'm burying the only male I got if I don't stand with him. And I said, I can't go get another one. I can't run across town and get a new preacher. I can't run down here and get a new pastor. I'm telling you, I understand some of you that left dead churches where there was no prayer, no anointing, and carnality in the pulpit. God got you out of a garbage can and sent you to an apostolic church. But I'm going to tell you, if you leave here, you're leaving in rebellion. And if this is an apostolic church, come on, you got an apostolic pastor. Are you hearing me tonight? You got a man sent from God, and you can't get up and leave. You can't just get up and walk out because you feel like it. That is, if he's your preacher. If he's not your preacher, you can go right now. But if he's your preacher, you can't go. You can't go. I know, because I'm forever tied to you, Brother Shirley. And I made my mind up. I said, I don't care what my pastor goes through. He's going to be my pastor. I don't care what he faces. He's going to be my pastor. I don't care if he gets so tired that I got to get a stone and slide it underneath him. All he can do is just sit there and look at me. I want him to know that I'm going to stand there and hold his hands up. And God's going to give us revival. You ain't got to say a word, Brother Shirley. All you got to do is just sit down. And we're going to help you whip the devil. We're going to help you have revival. We're going to help you gather in the harvest. We're not going to quit. We're not going to throw the towel. Come on, somebody worship the Lord in here. Somebody praise Him. Come on, I said somebody praise Him. You know what the Lord was telling Moses? He said, hey, up to now, y'all been dropping a few Patriot missiles out there. But he said, I'm so happy. Get back. I'm going to shock it all y'all now. I'm going to let you see what I can do. I'm going to utterly whip the devil. I'm going to utterly wipe out Ramirez. I'm going to give you revival in your home. I'm going to give you revival on your job. I'm going to give you revival in the streets of your city. I'm going to give you revival in the hospital. I'm going to give you revival at the gas station. I'll give you revival at the grocery store. Come on, somebody love the Lord in here. Lift your hands up and pray. Come on, let's worship the Lord. Come on, let's praise Him. And our God, I feel the Holy Ghost in here. Ela Bahoshakalamahaya. You've seen them. You've seen them. They buried the preacher. They buried him. Praise God, they buried the preacher somewhere. You've seen men. They don't have a preacher anymore. When you see them around town, you run into them and they're miserable. They don't have no connection in their life. They have fallen away from God because they fell away from the man of God God gave them. I'm going to tell you, God will just stir that stick in your life for so long and then He'll let go. If He can't stir your world up when you miss Him, and you won't let Him deal with you, and you won't let Him, are you hearing me? Praise God, Saul just kept slipping farther away, but Samuel stayed there until God allowed him to be buried out of his life. You say it can't happen. Don't tell me it can't happen. I'm telling you, if we miss God, and we lose our pastor in our life, God will bury him. Are you hearing me? I said, God will bury him out of your life, and all you'll hear is stories about a man and a preacher, but you'll never feel that anointing. I'm telling you, I need the man of God in my life. If my kids are sick, I want Him to lay hands on. If my family's in trouble, I want Him to help me. Come on, do you feel that way about it? Do you need it? Do you need a man of God in your life? Somebody reach your hands up and worship the Lord. Let's worship the Lord a moment. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. They didn't know when they got up there what was going on. They could have left his hands down. But they understood something. It wasn't just them. It wasn't just him sitting there. They were as involved as he was involved. And if they were going to get over and they were going to get out, they were going to get out with him. For without him, they were going nowhere. They found that out when he let his hands down and everything started falling apart. And so one of them, I don't know which one of them was, but he said, hey, we better help him hold us up. We better help him keep on holding truth up. We better help him keep on holding faith up. I'm going to tell you something, friend. Amen. We need to give God our very best. I said we need to give God our very best. Praise God. It's no time when you're in a war to sit down. It's time to get up and say, hey, devil, if you think we're quitting now, you're a liar. If you think we're going to let up now, devil, you're a liar. If you think I shouted, you ain't never seen me shout. If you think I pray, you ain't never seen me pray. If you think I worship God, you ain't never seen me worship God. I'm telling you, I got news for the devil. I want a taste of victory. I want a taste of the living God. Come on, somebody praise him. I want to live a life that's pleasing to the Lord. Somebody lift your hands up, worship the Lord. Praise God. It all starts when you get too far from the hands of the men of God. It all starts when you lose that place of him being able to put his hand on you. You put your hand on him. And when he's tired, when you're tired, he'll help you out. When you're worn out, he's going to help you hold your hands up. He's going to be there for you. But it works the same way when he's tired. When worn out, you've got to hold his hands up. Are you hearing me? And there's something pleasing about that. There's something that got God's attention. God said, hey, hey, I want y'all to know something. I'm fixing to get in on this. I'm fixing to get in on this. Come on, I see where you're at. That's what God's telling us. I feel that's what God's speaking to us tonight. I feel the Lord telling us, hey, I see where you're at. I know what's going on. You know what the devil's trying to do? The devil's saying, hey, everything's going wrong. There's trouble. There's pain. There's heartache. And look at the shape everything's in. And hey, I tell you, the preacher's worn out. And this is how things are going to be. But I'm telling you, there's something that the devil's not expecting. There's something that turns this world upside down. That when the man of God's worn out, God's got a church that'll hold his hands up, that'll stir up a move of God, that'll stir up a harvest, that'll stir up a revival like this world has never seen. Somebody worship the Lord. I feel the Holy Ghost. Somebody praise him. Oh God. Oh Lord. Now here's what I got to tell you. This is what I got to tell you. Even we, us, you, me, even we are they that are going to hold his hands up and fight on the battlefield. Or we're a part of those that are going to try to stop him. There's no in between. Even we're here to help you, Brother Shirley, and we're here to win this thing. This church is built. It's here for the name of the Lord. It's here for a reason. Y'all know there's a lot of blood in this church? Y'all know there's a lot of blood in this church. A lot of blood in this church. There's a lot of blood in the history of this church. What are you saying? Matthew 23:34. Wherefore, behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men, scribes. Some of them you shall kill and prophesy. Some of them you shall scourge in his synagogues and persecute them from city to city. That upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth. From the blood of righteous Abel to the blood of Zacharias, son of Barachas, whom you slew between the temple and the altar. Verily I say unto you, all these things shall come upon this generation. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets, stonest them which are sent unto thee. How often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathered her chickens under her wings, and you would not. He said, I want you to know something. When you get mixed up in this thing, this preacher fighting, this preacher stopping, this preacher hindering, you're not just fighting him. I'm gonna tell you where I've been in trouble. I'm gonna tell you where I messed up. I'm gonna tell you where God slapped my jaws and knocked my nose in the mud without realizing what I was doing. I'm not just, when I come against the man of God, I ain't just fooling him. I'm fooling with all the blood of the prophets. That's what he said. He said, I'm telling you. He said, you don't have the blood of now. He said, I want you to understand. He said, upon you shall come the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel to the blood of Zacharias. Amen. He said, right on down to now. He said, because you're fooling with a preacher. He said, I'm going to hold you guilty of all the blood. She said that. I can't. It's in the Word. And I can't afford. I'm going to tell you what. I'm going to tell you, it's a simple story, and it may not make sense to you, but it makes a lot of sense to me. I was a young teenage drug addict and alcoholic, and my cousin pulled up and blew his horn and said, come go to church with me. And I walked in that church over there, never been to a Pentecostal church in my life, and I come here still with a stitch of alcohol in my breath, and somebody met me in the foyer, me and Brother Austin's friends, and he said, we're not having church this morning. The founding pastor died. And I walked down that aisle, looked over in the casket of old Brother W.T. here, Bill, and I turned around and walked out, and 3 years later I came back and got the Holy Ghost. Now you might say that's just a coincidence, but I don't think it was. I believe the bones of that old prophet even began to work on my soul that day. Are you hearing me? I believe the bones of that old prophet. I told people before, I said, I don't care if you believe it or not, I believe I got his mantle on my back. I believe something happened that day. I believe a pleasingness to God took place. I'm just telling you, when you fight him, even you're not just fighting him, you're fighting the blood of every preacher, you're fighting the blood of every prophet, you're fighting the blood of food. Somebody lift up your hands and worship the Lord in here. Somebody touch the Lord with me right now, would you? Praise God. Oh God. Oh God, I feel it. I feel the heaviness, the burden of the Lord in this place right now. God, help her. Oh Lord. Ilamosataya. Lobosutaya. I've got to have you, Lord. I've got to have you. I've got to be obedient. God, I've got to have you. The Lord spoke to me. The Lord spoke to me and I was praying. And he listened to me. I'm not in here. I'm not feeling. I will say this. I'm not going to be like one man or like others I've heard. Say, I'm not preaching to you. I am preaching to you. Praise God. I've heard preachers say, I'm not preaching to nobody here. Don't preach then. Get your Bible and go to the house. I'm preaching to everybody here. I'm preaching to every one of us. I'm preaching to myself. I'm preaching where we're at. I'm preaching what time it is. I'm preaching what we got to do. I'm preaching what God wants to do. I'm preaching what makes God happy. I'm preaching what makes God happy. I'm preaching what makes God get involved in your war. It is not be your war anymore. I'm preaching what makes God give you victory. I'm preaching what brings God down and gives you apostolic revival. It makes God happy. When the preacher's worn out, when you hold his hands up, that's when God said, you made me happy. I'll give you revival. I'll give you harvest. Somebody praise him in here. I believe it. I believe, Brother Shorty, I believe the Lord's allowed you to come to this place in your life, for this church. That's why you're here. You're not here for yourself. God could have took you another way. But you're here for this church. For God to test this church and see what this church will do. And I'll tell you what, praying in what I know of this church and what I feel of this church, they're going to pick you up in the church. And they're going to help you. They're going to help you that God comes through. And I prophesy to you that if you'll lift your pastor's hands up, I prophesy to you that if you'll keep loving, I prophesy to you that if you'll keep giving, you're going to find yourself so blessed. You're going to find yourself in such a place in God that you're going to look up and your kids are going to be having revival. You're going to look up and your grandkids are going to be having revival. You're going to look up and it's going to be revival on your job. You're going to look up, you know why? Because God said, hey, I got news for you. You not hear me? Amen. If you do that, you know what God does? Every day God gets up, he puts his boxing gloves on, and he says, I'm going to whip Amalek today. I'm going to whip Amalek again today for you. I'm going to give you another healing. I'm going to give you another miracle. I'm going to give you another blessing. Somebody touch the Lord in here. Somebody touch the Lord in here. Come on, let's worship the Lord. Everybody, would you worship the Lord with me? Everybody in the house, would you worship the Lord with me? Come on, let's lift our voice up and worship him. Praise him. If you feel like standing, you can stand. If you feel like standing to your feet, you can. Amen. Let's worship the Lord together right now. Come on, everybody, help me. Come on, let's do it together. Lord, after the Holy Ghost. Oh, oh God. Hallelujah. I know it's kind of hard to imagine, but I believe the angels got to dancing in heaven that day. Even I believe that's the first time. That's That's the first time anybody got a scream about worshiping God in the Bible. That's the first time anybody ever got together with a preacher and helped him worship their God. Do you know what it does to the devil when we help the man of God worship his God and help him trust his God and help him believe his God? It brings heaven to hell and apostolic revival to the church. Somebody reach your hands up and worship the Lord. God, let's praise Him. Come on, let's worship the Lord right now. Come on, let's worship the Lord right now. Oh, all He wants is a dime, a nickel. He just wants something tonight. That's all, because He knows if you ever get that, He's going to start coming back for more. He knows you're going to give up more and give up more. Somebody ought to get ready to fight tonight. Somebody ought to say, devil, you're a liar. I'll give all I'm going to give. I'm going to stand with what's right. I'm going to stand with God. I'm going to stand with my pastor. I can't afford the blood of these prophets on my hand. I can't afford the anger of God. I need the blessing of the Lord. I'm going to tell you what. I honestly ask the Lord. I don't feel uncomfortable preaching here or preaching things, but this was a hard one. This was a tough one for me to dive into because this is my home church. But I said, God, maybe there's a reason you gave it to me to give to this church. I just am that sure that God has given it to me. That if someone, I'm just going to tell you, someone doesn't believe what they're hearing, and they make a choice to lift their hands up or to oppose. Let me tell you, it'd be better to walk away quietly. It'd be better to be in trouble and have the preacher that can help you than to be in trouble and turn on the very one that's trying to pull you out of the fire. Everyone is going to help you. I'm telling you. I'm not going to sit here and tell you, thus saith the Lord. But I'm just going to tell you what my spirit's telling me. I just feel deep trouble. I feel like a mouth, like an earthquake opening up. Maybe like corn. And the ground's going to swallow somebody up. And I don't want to see anybody get swallowed up following somebody that's got a bucket of fire. Are you hearing me? I'd rather see you stand. Amen. It may not look like we got a bucket of fire right now. It may look like trouble. But if we just hang on, God's going to stand with Moses. He's going to stand with you. He's going to stand with your family. He's going to stand with your children. I need it. I need it. I'll tell you what. I need it. I look at all you. I love every one of you. I love this church. I look at elders in here. That if it hadn't have been for you, I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't have made it. You helped me. You gave me fives and tens and you helped, gave me gas money to get to church. And when I first got the Holy Ghost and you carried me, since I've been on the field, you've cried with me and you've helped me and you love me. But I'm going to tell you, you know why I respect you? You know why I'll fight every devil in hell for you? Because you taught me how to stand with my pastor. That's what you taught me when I was young. Amen. I was in trouble. You got me off the side, said Brother Calvin. How many times have I heard Brother Austin Frank say, Brother Thomas, you're going to have to go look Brother Sturdy now, and you're going to have to say, I love you, and you have to mean it when you say it. Brother Sturdy, I just say, I love you, and I mean it when I say it. Sometimes you've got me so bad I had to go pray through, so I meant it when I said it. But I prayed through. Somebody look at your neighbor and say, I pray through. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, he's my pastor. I pray through over this. He's my pastor. Brother Sturdy's my pastor. You feel that way about it? If he's your pastor, wave your hand. He's my pastor. 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 Praise God. I want somebody to get on all the instruments and get ready. We're fixing up. Play something and sing something around here. And we're going to worship the Lord around this place. I said, we're going to worship God around here. Praise God. I got news from the devil. The devil's a liar. When I walked in the building, when I got in here, I felt the Shekinah glory of the Lord in this place. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And I made my mind up. I'm not going to be in Amalekite. I made my mind up. I'm not going to fight the church. I made my mind up. I'm not going to fight the preacher. Don't call me an Amalekite. called me the one God, Jesus, Spirit, Holy Ghost, Apostolic Pentecostal. Glory, hallelujah. Praise God. They're fixing to get ready to sing. And I want you to, if you need a miracle tonight, if you need a healing, you need deliverance, you need the Holy Ghost, whatever you have need of, I want you to gather up here tonight. I want you to come up here in faith. And I want you to say, devil, you're a liar. You know what? I'm going to tell you something. We're having this service for a reason tonight. We're having this service. We're having this service to let the devil know that this church is still strong. We're having this service tonight to let the devil know that God is still pleased with the church. Standing with the man of God, that God is still pleased with the church standing with his pastor in this last days. God still got a church in this last days. God still got a revival center in this last days. Come on, somebody worship the Lord. I'm going to tell you something. Praise God, I told you that Brother Sturdy would stand with you when you're tired and you're weak and you're going through something. I want to help somebody tonight. Amen. I feel the strength is mine tonight when I'm preaching. And if you're in trouble or you need a miracle or you need a blessing or you need God to give you an answer, I want you to come up here. We're going to help you. We're going to lay hands on you. We're going to shout with you. We're going to talk in tongues with you. If you need the Holy Ghost tonight, you want the Holy Ghost, come up here and say, preacher, I need the Holy Ghost or I need a miracle. Come on right now. Praise God. They're getting ready to sing something. While they do, I want you all in the building. Whatever you have need of, come on and bring it to the Lord tonight. Hallelujah to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Whatever you want, the